Our Most High God. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. When we think about all the things that are happening in the world, we are amazed at your patience. We are amazed at your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We live in a world that practices wickedness as a sport because of the sinful heart of man. But your mercy, your loving kindness is extraordinary. For Lord, O God, it is not just about those that are in the world, but even we that serve you, seek to worship you in spirit and in truth. We make a mess of things, and yet your patience, your mercy, your loving kindness keeps us, draws us in, and you love us back to life. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for your present help at all times. We come tonight to ask, for your word says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you'll find. knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Today we come asking, seeking, and knocking. And we believe we receive all that you have on your mind for us. Blessed be your holy name forever, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for everyone here tonight for this time of prayer and intercession. The Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 5. Actually, I'll take it up from verse 2, but verse 5 is the verse that I want to camp on today. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Instead of complaining, griping, throwing up our hands in defeat, God says to us, when you're going through diverse temptations, count it all joy. Now that's rather strange. Temptations are not only things that want me to go in a different direction because there is pleasure in that temptation, but sometimes temptations are things that are happening in my life right now that's causing me to be in pain, and I want to relieve the pain by doing the wrong thing. God says, no matter what the situation is, count it all joy. When you're going through diverse temptations, when you're going through different circumstances in your life, just count it all joy. Wow. Why, Lord? He says, knowing this, know this. This is the reason that the trying of your faith, worketh patience. What is it that I don't want to do when I'm going through temptations? I don't want to be patient. I want a resolution like right now. Right now. Get me out of this mess right now. I want to do this thing right now. Satisfy this hunger, this lust, this whatever. It says, you got to understand that the temptation that has happened is the trying of your faith. The trying of your faith. The Bible says, faith worketh by love. So in essence, the word of God is saying the temptation is a temptation to check on your love quotient. Are you loving in this? Are you walking in love in this particular situation? Or are you doing your own thing, wanting to do your own thing, satisfy your own selfish, self-centered self? Why? The working of your faith. He says, let patience have her perfect work. So patience has a work to do. That ye may be perfect and entire. Patience has an assignment, and that assignment is to make me perfect, mature. And whole, lacking nothing. Wanting nothing. Now that tells me something. If the Lord is my shepherd, that's why I don't lack. Patience is connected to the Lordship of God over my life. Patience is connected to the Lordship of God over my life. Patience. Promises of God are fulfilled in our lives because it is mixed with faith. And the Word of God says that they received because of patience. The promises of God. When we are impatient, we mess things up. Patience is that grace upon our lives to abide under the covering. Staying under the covering of God. No matter how scared I am, I just stay still under the protective graces of God. Because I trust in Him that is well able to weather the storm for me. This thing is coming and He's going to take all the blows. He's my shock absorber. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's my shock absorber. And I might feel the bump, but it's not going to be as bad as if He was not my shock absorber. I'm going to ride through this, and I'm going to come onto the other side fully rested and in order. You know, the difference sometimes with vehicles is the shock absorbing aspect. Expensive vehicles, really expensive vehicles, have amazing shock absorbing capacity. So you go through a rough road and it's easy, but you go with some cheap one and you go into a hole. You can feel it. When you get home, you find the chiropractor to put your leg this way and then give me your neck. God takes all the blows and I'm at peace. The righteous run into Him. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and find safety. So God says to us, patience does a great deal of that. Brings us to that place where we lack nothing. In so many ways. Because you're patient, you say, well, when I need it, it will show up. As long as God is taking care of me to weather through this situation, I'm not going to look to the right or to the left. I will look unto the Lord, acknowledge Him, and He's going to help me. Praise the Lord. And then it makes this statement in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, if you lack Sophia, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men. He giveth this to all men. He giveth to all men. You know, there are unbelievers that will just say, I need wisdom for this. They're not serving God. Because God says, I'm going to give wisdom to everybody. Everybody. I give you wisdom. He says, if you lack it, if you have a sense that you don't have a sense of direction and you ask for help, there I am. I'm going to give you wisdom. And upbraid that not. I'm not going to defame you, is the meaning of this Greek word. I'm not going to defame you. I'm not going to shame you. I'm not going to say, look at you. I gave you wisdom. You wasted it. This is, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to give it to you without upbraiding. I'm going to give it to you liberally, in abundance. Tonight, I want us to ask God for three things right from the onset. For joy, so that, remember the word of God says, you can do nothing without me. So God, I need joy. I need joy so I can be patient. Because when you lose your joy, you lose your ability to be patient. You start scrambling for solutions. Just calm down. Ask for the joy of the Lord. Many times in my life, I'm faced with issues that can be overwhelming. It's like when it rains, it pours. And you just want to run away. You know, flee, take a flight, escape. There. Where am I going to run to? My help is in the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. God, I need help. I need wisdom. I need your joy. Because joy is not based on circumstances, good, bad, or ugly. It is an infusion of the gladness of heart that's in God, that is based on, I cannot fail. I cannot fail. No matter what, I win. I win. And when we have that, we say, yeah, no matter what's happening right now, when this whole dust settles, I win. I win. And I take that. I need that joy. We're going to pray, God, flood my life with joy. For your joy in my life strengthens me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And remember that strength is not the same thing as might or power. You can have a lot of power and not have strength. Strength is your ability to stay steady. You know, so if you don't have much strength, I was trying to do one of these exercise stuff, you know, some guy, I've forgotten his name now, you know, years ago, you know, he had this stuff that you work with, they sold it on the shopping channel, and we have two of them, and I have one in the room, and so I went on it, and I'm going, and all of a sudden it started aching. I just started. My it's aching here. I said, oh my God. What's going on? It's strength. I've not been using those muscles. So there's no strength there. But if I keep on doing it, all of a sudden, strength comes and I'm able to handle it. You know, I have this envelope. It's very light. I can hold it. But strength is going to determine how long I can hold it like this. Because all of a sudden, 5-10 minutes from now, this thing that is like half an ounce or whatever is going to become a pound. It's going to be 10 pounds. It's going to be 20 pounds, and I can't even hold it up anymore. Now, based on my strength, my strength will determine how long I can hold it. Make sense? And the joy of the Lord gives me the strength to outlast the problem. Praise God. And say that again. The strength of the Lord causes me to outlast the problem. No matter what it is, I will outlast the storm. Praise God. So the first thing we're going to ask God for that strength, that joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We're going to ask God for that. All right? And the second thing we're going to ask God is for patience. Patience so that we lack nothing. And thirdly, which is going to be our main trust tonight, we're going to ask God for wisdom. Amen? So three things: joy, patience, wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask. If you don't understand why I'm saying count it all joy, ask me for wisdom. So you know and you understand. Ask. Amen? So let's do that. Let's pray for those three things. Ask God for those three things: for joy, patience, and wisdom, so that we lack nothing. Father, we thank you for your great grace upon our lives. We can embrace by the anointing your joy in our lives. So, Father God, we are able to stand in that secure place of your presence because we recognize that you are our source and our strength. We receive now the joy of the Lord. We are infused with joy. And Lord, oh God, sadness and sorrow and bitterness and all the wicked strategies of the evil one are washed and wiped away. We thank you, Lord, for patience. Thank you, Lord, for patience. Our patience is taking its rightful place in our lives so that we lack nothing, because you are sovereign, your Lord, over our lives. We run and find shelter in you. We hide under the covering of your grace, knowing, O God, that you are the answer to every question, answer to every situation that faces us on a daily basis. Father, this day we abide under the canopy of your grace. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing it for us. So, Lord, O God, that we can receive the fullness of wisdom. For Lord, O God, this day we ask. You've commissioned us to ask if we lack. And Lord, O God, there are so many areas of our lives that we lack wisdom. We lack wisdom on how to handle our families. We lack wisdom on how to deal with other people. We lack wisdom on how to resolve situations and circumstances that stand as challenge to us. We lack wisdom on how to get things done. We lack wisdom concerning how to do our business, how to work with our children, our spouses, and on and on and on. How to deal with the governments of the world, how to deal with the school system, how to deal with the politicians that govern us, how to deal with our pastors and our leaders, and on and on and on. We need wisdom. And Lord, oh God, we ask, oh God, for the application and the reception of wisdom. So, Lord, oh God, that no matter what the situation is, we do righteously. We do the right things. We get the right results because wisdom has been activated in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the manifold blessing of wisdom. You said when we ask, you will give it to us liberally. In abundance, we receive the abundance of wisdom. Wisdom on how to deal with our own selves. Wisdom to know what to do and what not to do. Wisdom to address situations that are yet to happen in the future, that we're rightfully positioned at all times, so that we're not caught unawares, unprepared. Father, we thank you for wisdom. Forgive us for every act of foolishness. And help us, O God, to receive what we need so that we can be everything you say we can be, to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to the passage of Scripture that we were studying on Wednesday in Proverbs chapter 13. And we'll read through some of Proverbs 13 and pick out certain things that we need to ask God for so that we can accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Proverbs 13, beginning to read from verse 13. Beginning to read from verse 13. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. It says here, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. If we're finding wisdom, it's because we're seeking for it. The Word of God says to us in Matthew, ask, seek, knock. We ask because we know that we lack it. This is a call to humility. When you think you're smart, God will let you show your smartness. And then you find out, I thought I was smart. Now, when we recognize that we lack it, and stop pretending, say, God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom on how I will deal with my family. Things are complicated. I need wisdom. You need wisdom? Okay. You can have it. But he doesn't stop there. He says, you got to seek it. He says, I asked for it. What do you mean seek it? I ask for it. What do you mean look for it? The asking is you recognizing your need for it. Now God will give you the necessary information, because remember, wisdom is the ability to come, hear God's word, and do it. So the next level of seeking wisdom is seeking, are you ready for this? Instruction from God that you need to obey. Praise the Lord. It is the training for obedience. Jesus is the wisdom of God because he learned obedience. Are you with me? Okay. And he wants us to be like him. So when you ask God for wisdom, God will give you the opportunity to seek by you desiring to get instruction from him. And you obeying the instruction. The challenge that we all face is that we many times read the scripture and we don't analyze to understand what is being said to us. On the surface, it's just, okay, it just happens. No, but like I just said now, if you're seeking it, that means you're looking for it. But wisdom is in the doing of the Word of God. And if you're going to do the Word of God, it must be because he gave you an instruction. And the instruction may be complex or it may be simple. But one of the things we talked about not too long ago was that, and this goes back to the whole issue of acknowledging God in all of our ways, and he will direct our path, is that wisdom compels me to be subject and to be humble in the sight of God, not assuming anything or presuming anything. And when God gives me an instruction, I say, thank you, I heard that. How should I do this to bring about what you said for me to do? Because without him, I can do nothing. For me, presuming that I got the instruction, I know exactly what to do, you're going to go back to square one to learn that lesson. And I've been there, and I'm talking to you from the position of somebody who's been there, done that, fallen flat on my face. You know, what did I do wrong? Well, you start thinking that you're boss. That's your problem. I'm the boss. I know what to do now. No. Talk to the Lord. And if the Lord says, why are you talking to me about this? You know what to do. That's permission. You know, like, you remember me telling this story about, you know, the Lord saying, you know, pay off, you know, get rid of the JW's paper over this facility. And we're owing them about $300,000. And the Lord saying, I said to the Lord, I said, okay, how am I supposed to do that? And he says to me, surprise, surprise, he said, are you not a Nigerian? That's the funniest response. Are you not a Nigerian? I understood when he said, are you not a Nigerian? Because Nigerians know how to bargain. So when he said that, I said, huh? How much do you want to pay for this? This is $100,000. I said, you mean these people are going to walk away and leave $200,000 on the table? Yeah. Guess why? Oh, fess up time. When we were trying to get into the building, the Lord told me how much he wanted to pay. Told me exactly how much he wanted to pay. It was $250,000 for this whole thing. I said, no way, I can't be that. So we negotiated for $500,000. Are you with me? Getting real smart. Because faith and unbelief go side by side. So, put $50,000 down and start paying. We had our regiment of payments and say struggling with making the payments, and things were falling apart. And when the Lord said, do it this way, and I negotiated, because now I had permission. And when he said, negotiate, you're Nigerian. I said, how will I negotiate? All of this area here was falling apart. Water damage. The roof was bad. So I said, "Eh? This is what I want to pay." He said, no, that's unacceptable. I said, you know what? Take your bill. I didn't mean it. Take your building. And they looked at me. This guy means this. This the whole thing is falling apart. How can we sell this thing? We don't want this building anymore. This guy wants to hand it back over to us. Okay, we'll talk to our folks. So they went and they talked with their folks. They came back and said, we're okay with it. And I calculated with what we paid and what we had paid already, and it ended up being the $250,000. God found another way to get me back to where we needed to be. But my mistake was God stepping into the situation, because we needed now to fix the roof and all of that. Now, we had to follow his guidance. We took a loan and whatever else so that we can fix the roof. So we have, you know, payments still going now, you know, but this was how God got them out of the title. Are you with me? Okay. So we need to trust God. Ask him for his wisdom. And I say this so that every one of us practice this. Keep on asking questions. God, how do you want this to happen? What am I supposed to do? So we're going to ask God, Father, guide me in my decision making. Help me to be discerning. I receive the grace of discernment so I can make proper decisions, not based on my own understanding, not leaning onto your own understanding, but acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. Help me to remain humble and always checking out things with you. That makes sense? We got it? Okay. So let that be our focus right now. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. We're going to ask God for that grace, for discernment, so we can make godly decisions and remain humble before him. These are life principles, so that we can become greater and much more efficient, so that God can take our little and make something extraordinary to come out of it, so that we are not overwhelmed by circumstances. Amen? Praise the Lord. Pray. Call on the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, O God, for guiding us, O God, in our decision making, in everything that we do, in the realm of the spirit and in the natural world. And Lord, O God, the decisions that we make are founded on the truth of your guidance, not leaning onto our own understanding, but leaning on your understanding, leaning on your insight and discernment on every issue. That, Lord, O God, that we understand that you will not upbraid us, you will not shame us, you will not defame us when we come asking. But our Lord, O God, that you are so open to us, and you say, come, let us reason together. Father, we come and ask, O God, for the grace to remain humble, to always check with you about the decisions that we must make in life, as it relates to your church, as it relates to our families, as it relates to our businesses, as it relates to our relationships, as it relates to whatever it is that you've called us to do, that everything that we do be done always as unto you. And in so doing, we thank you, Lord, O God, that your peace will garrison our hearts. We give you praise, Most High. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, the word of God says, for the merchandise of it is better than merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Then it says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. So it says, in the right hand of wisdom Lent of Days, and we spent some time talking about that. That Lent of Days has to do with not the changing of the 24-hour day, but the productivity in the 24-hour day. Amen? So God says to us, in the right hand of wisdom, if I can put it in another way, is productivity. It gives you lots of time because you accomplish so much at a very low percentage of time. So now you are resting more than working. The ways of the wicked is hard, but not the way of the righteous. There was a trip that Mama and I went on that covered the land of Israel and also into Turkey, where the seven churches were. And as we were traveling, I was thinking about the travels of Paul. I'm thinking, how did this guy complete so much in such a short time? How is that possible? And in some cases, he sent people ahead of him, and he arrived in the place that he was sending them to before they arrived. How is this possible? Then it dawned on me, this man of God was so in tune with God that just like Jesus used to just take off and appear somewhere else, God was by the Spirit. Hey, things that people know that we don't know. I'm still looking for a jet. I still like to have my own private jet. But it is better for God to just pick me up from one place and put me in another place. That is all possible in God. And if that happens that way, guess what? That's Lent of Days. Because the hours, you know, no matter, even if you're flying first class and you have reclining chairs that, you know, turn to a bed and everything, and you're flying 24 hours, by the time you get to the place that you'll be tired, not as tired as a person at economy, but you'll still be very tired. I found out every time that I flew, I'm going to give out a secret now, should I say, I find out all of a sudden my hair starts wanting to change colors. I say, what? Because it's stressful, even though you're not feeling it, but just the pressure in the airplane and okay, it's affecting your body somehow. But God can give us Lent of Days. Amen. Even if you're going through economy or business class or first class or whatever, you know, you can arrive at where you're going to and just be as agile as somebody else that's, you know, not traveled, and you can outrun them and outwork them and everything. You know, that's possible, and God does that for us all the time. You know, people say, you know, jet lag. I don't know what that is. No matter how many hours difference, doesn't matter to me. Just as go. It's part of the Lent of Days. Amen? So we're going to ask, it says it is at the right hand. So we're going to ask God, and this is where we're going to end today, in this particular trust, and then we'll pray about other things. We're going to ask God, Father, I come to the right hand of wisdom. and I receive now length of days. Amen. And I come to the left hand of wisdom, and I receive now riches and honor. That makes sense? So we're going to be very specific, just like the Word of God says. This right hand, length of days, and this left, riches and honor. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for access to length of days, access to riches and honor. We come to the right hand of wisdom. And Lord, your word says, O God, that you are the wisdom of God. We come to your right hand, and from your right hand we receive, we collect this day, Lent of days. Lent of days that is connected to honoring father and mother. Lent of days that is connected to honoring you, our sovereign Lord. We honor you and we receive from your right hand Lent of days. The Lord of God that will be productive. Hallelujah. That we accomplish so much more so quickly. That we overtake in the mighty name of Jesus. We receive the overtaking anointing right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive the overtaking anointing. We receive the overtaking anointing. We receive the overtaking anointing. We receive the overtaking anointing to overtake, to overtake, to overtake, to overtake, to overtake, to overtake, overtake, because we have length of days in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that in and from your right hand, we are receiving this grace right now. I will thank you, Lord, O God, that in the left hand of wisdom is riches and honor. Father, we come and we receive riches and honor. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, we receive it now, riches and honor. Your word says, O God, that in the house of the righteous, the upright, is wealth and riches. Father, we receive that which is receivable, for our righteousness is of you. Therefore, we declare this day that every weapon fashioned against us will not prosper. Every agenda of Satan and his cohorts fail completely. In the name of Jesus, we speak condemnation on every voice that is contrary to our well-being, the well-being, O God, of our families, the well-being of this, your church. Lord God, this day, by the authority of your word, we condemn it. This is our heritage, our inheritance in you. And we thank you, Lord, O God, that from the left hand of wisdom, today we receive even now, riches, and we receive honor. Thank you, Lord, that it's so done. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Thank you, Lord, for length of days, riches, and honor. And because of it, our pathway is pleasant. Blessed be your holy name. Pleasant things are happening for us now. Pleasantness in all of our ways. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And all the parts of wisdom are peace, your shalom. Nothing is missing and nothing is broken. Thank you, Lord, O God, that we've stepped into the pleasantness of the Lord. And we've stepped, O God, into the arena of peace. And peace is fighting for us. Peace is violently taking down every activity of the enemy and shutting down the territory of darkness. In Jesus' mighty name, we are blessed and highly favored of you. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Finally, tonight, we'll pray about the service this Sunday coming. It is Mother's Day. We thank God for the mothers that God has given to us. Some of us, our mothers are still around. For others, our mothers are long gone. But no matter what, we honor our mothers, living or dead. We thank God for mothers, because without mothers, we would not be here. Mothers nurtured us. Mothers gave so much to give us the opportunity. Our mothers did not abort us. They carried us to full term. They had the opportunity to abort any one of us for whatever reason, but they cherished us and celebrated our birth. They got out of shape because of us. They hurt hips and all because of us. Amen. Stretch marks because of us. And what pain they went through just to bring us forth, birth us. We're going to pray that God will do for us, not only as a father, but the God, the many-breasted God, that God will birth us and nourish us. And that this Sunday will be an extraordinary time as we experience God who has loved us with an everlasting love. Amen? That we'll experience God afresh in a new way. That there'll be a connection between us and God like never before. Mothers are a unique breed. And we thank God for that. So let God do something unique for us. Bible says the first mother was a helpmeet, a helper. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is our helper. The woman came out of the side of the man. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is the paraclete, one who comes alongside of us. We're going to ask God, we want the mothering grace of the Holy Spirit to work our work in us and do for us what no man, no woman can do. That God be God in our lives in an amazing, extraordinary way. Amen? We're ready to pray? All right, let's do it. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the manifest presence of your Holy Spirit. We want you, O God, to be not just Father to us, but Mother to us by the power of the Spirit of truth, our helper, our comforter, the one who brings us to remembrance, the one who reveals to us, the one who nurtures us. Let this gathering, this Sunday, be one that is so extraordinary because we experience you, God, in a very powerful, powerful way. We receive the anointing of the Spirit. Let the service be grace as you cover us, as you cover us. Like a hen gathers her chicks and covers them. Lord, O God, gather us together and cover us, under the pinions of your wings. Cover us, shelter us. Oh, Father, we give you praise. Brood upon us. Hallelujah. And Lord, oh God, as you do so by the Spirit, Lord Jesus, we ask that you will speak your words, that we become enlightened, that we become restored, as you restored a world that was damaged, and you commanded that which was hidden in the waters to come forth. Lord Jesus, as the Spirit of truth broods over us, may you, the Word of God, break forth. Thank you for your help. Thank you, Lord, that this is so done. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Answer us and do for us what only you can do. There are no impossibilities with you, Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. There's no limit to what you can do. Our faith and our trust is in you. God of the turnaround, turn things around. Birth us again to fullness of life, incorruptible, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we thank God once again for the service this Sunday. Thank God for the mothers. Thank God that He's birthing and nourishing us and doing something uniquely special for us, for mothers and their daughters and their sons, every one of us. We want that mothering grace of the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, our comforter, the one who comes alongside of us to work a work that will cause us to always testify of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight, let us honor God with our giving. Those of you that are online, you may do so at this time also. The information for how you can join in giving is available to you. So just make use of it. And we look forward to seeing you this next Sunday. God bless you. And please be reminded that on the 28th, it's going to be a special service in the evening. It's Pentecost Sunday, but in the evening will be a healing and deliverance service, and that means service on the 28th will start at 6:30, not as at 7 o'clock as we'll normally do on a regular Sunday evening. So it's going to be at 6:30. Mark it out. Invite others to come and participate. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And I'll see you Sunday. Good night. Love you. Bye-bye. Yeah, it's also Mission Sunday. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, two things happening that day. Isn't that